From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. An honor to be with you. What a busy, busy week we have had. Let me give you some of the highlights we'll be discussing today. As I'm sure you're aware by now, the 2024 Republican National Convention wrapped up last night, concluding with a speech from Republican nominee and former President Donald Trump that included his first and perhaps his last step-by-step accounting of his near-death experience during the attempt on his life last weekend.
If the events of last Saturday make anything clear, it is that every single moment we have on Earth is a gift from God. We have to make the most of every day for the people and for the country that we love. The attacker in Pennsylvania wanted to stop our movement, but the truth is the movement has never been about me. It has always been about you. It's your movement.
Well, Texas Congressman Keith Self, he has returned home now from Milwaukee, and he'll be joining me with his reaction to President Trump's speech, as well as his overall thoughts on the convention. He'll be joining me here in just a few moments. And with the 2024 GOP convention now over, the Trump-Vance ticket is now going to move on to the general election, with the Republican platform officially recognized this month in Milwaukee. But how should Christians reflect on the events that have taken place these past couple of weeks? And how should they do so while continuing to stand for truth? Well, Chad Conley, who is the founder and CEO of Faith Wins, will be joining me a little bit later with his thoughts on the path forward. And in his address last night, President Trump mentioned the 2024 GOP platform, which many are saying it struck out and it watered down the language on key Republican principles, language that he himself suggested was not necessary.
This week, the entire Republican Party has formally adopted an agenda for America's renewal, and you saw that agenda, and it's very short compared to the long, boring, meaningless agendas of the past.
Well, the bottom line is, what changes did he make from previous GOP platforms? Well, FRC's Ariel Del Turco will explain some of the many differences a little bit later on in the program. And I'll wrap up today with the 2024 convention week and all its activities by talking with our worldview segment leader, David Clausen. He's the director of the Center for Biblical Worldview here at the Family Research Council. And we're going to dive deeper into the issues that were, in fact, watered down on the GOP platform. And we'll talk about why words and actions matter. I can assure you, you don't want to miss that. And let me just say this before we move into the program today, to be absolutely 100% clear, we are not standing against Team Trump, but we are appealing to them. We're raising authentic concerns for their benefit, as well as the benefit of the nation. It's never a good idea to walk away from things that are important to God. And so we are making an appeal for us to listen, and hopefully they'll hear us out. At any rate, we've got a packed show coming your way, and of course our website is tonyperkins.com. We've got tons of resources available there for you, so be sure to check it out. All right, as I mentioned, the 2024 Republican National Convention drew to a close last night with a speech from Republican nominee Donald Trump that included his reflections on the attempt of his life last weekend, as well as his vision for a second presidential term. President Trump and the Republican Party pushed a theme of unity throughout the entire week, and it was powerful. It certainly was a stark contrast to the chaos among Democrats, as President Biden, frankly, is clinging to his tenuous grip as that party's presumptive nominee. Well, how will voters respond to this tale of the two parties. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Keith Self. He was in Milwaukee this week. He serves on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, as well as the Veterans Affairs Committee, and he represents the 3rd Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Self, always great to see you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here, Jody. Great to be home in Texas.
No place like home. Absolutely. Oh, well, let's start with this. Your reaction, your overall reaction to the events that took place in Milwaukee.
Well, it was an extremely exciting time. J.D. Vance introducing himself to the nation, I thought was good. And then when you have Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock getting the crowd fired up for Trump, that's excitement.
Quite a combo.
It was palpable. It was palpable in the room. And then, as you've already alluded to, President Trump started out with a very sober, very measured, at times very emotional recounting of his Saturday. And I was there within 15, 20 yards of him. And it was obvious that it was an emotional time. I saw a man who now understands his mortality, if he did not before, understands the grace of God. I mean, that small movement of his head, as I've said, just 1 inch away from a changed nation. But he's certainly a changed man.
Well, I don't see how anyone could go through that kind of encounter with death that closely and not come away a different person. And you're right. There were parts of his speech and of the entire convention extremely emotional. How do you think voters overall are responding to former President Trump's speech and, for that matter, the entire overall message of the convention?
Well, I will tell you, the message of the convention was kind of superseded by that 1 inch by which the bullet missed him. And then that photograph, we now have an iconic photograph in our nation of that fist being raised. And I mean, that's what has gotten people said, man, this guy is the real deal. He is courageous. That was a very, very meaningful moment for our nation. And people have seen that photograph. And as I say, I think it's going to be an iconic photograph for a generation, maybe a generational photograph. And I will tell you, then he got to his vision of the nation. After he got through his recounting of the moment, he got to his vision of the nation. And I think there were three big takeaways: inflation and economy, closing the border, and drill, baby, drill, fossil fuels. He went back to inflation, I think, 5 times, Jody, throughout the vision part of the speech. Closed the border several times, and he actually chanted with the audience, drill, baby, drill. Energy is the foundation of civilization, of human civilization, and I think he intends to drill, baby, drill.
Well, there's no question that the crowd massively responded to that. And here we are. You look at the other side of the aisle, the left, of course. They hate, quite frankly, the spot that they found themselves in. Here they are with a candidate that they've lost confidence in, while their opposing side has coalesced around their candidate, and they just can't stand it. I don't know if you saw MSNBC's Joy Reid. She reacted to Trump's speech during a clip. In fact, let me just play this clip for you. Pull up clip 8 and play this. I'd like to get your reaction, Congressman Self.
If Joe Biden had given a rambling, shambling, all over the place speech like that, elected Democrats would be demanding that the 25th Amendment be invoked immediately. They would scramble, even worse than they are now, to jettison him as the candidate for president, and we would be questioning his mental acuity.
Wow. Your reaction.
What universe do they live in? I mean, they've got a presumptive nominee who cannot find his way off the stage, who doesn't know people, who presumably, in one event just recently, didn't know his wife from another lady. I mean, this is what universe do they live in? Donald Trump was very laid back in his speech compared to previous Donald Trump speeches. He's very confident, you can tell. He's very mellow compared to the Trump of old. but he laid out his vision, and you could look up at the words that they were projecting for him, and sometimes they were just stopped because, yes, he waxed eloquent on a subject, and they knew he was going to do it, but then he would continue with his speech. So we saw a very mellow, very confident, very engaged Donald Trump last night in his speech.
And that's just Trump-esque. I mean, I'm sure you have been there, too. I've been to many rallies with him, and that's just the way he talks. He uses a teleprompter sometimes just to give thoughts to go on and on. But this is the same Joy Reid there at MSNBC who just a couple of days ago somehow said that Biden recovering from COVID conveys a sign of strength just like Trump surviving an assassination attempt. Unbelievable. When you talk about what planet are these people living on, you are so right. It's unbelievable. If I can, Congressman, real quickly shift gears. Our time is slipping from us. But in a report this week that is infuriating in every way, it's also extremely heartbreaking. But employees of the largest housing provider for unaccompanied migrant children in the U.S. have evidently been accused of repeatedly sexually abusing and harassing children while in their care. This has been going on for years. What do you know about this so far?
Well, just what I've read, but I will tell you, this is a symptom across our society. In the last couple of weeks, I've visited Emily's Place, which is for women coming out of abusive relationships. And I've visited Traffic 911, which deals with children 11 through 17 that have been trafficked. And I will tell you, this is a cultural problem, Jody. This is, yes, a horrific example that you have cited here. But this is something that we need to start advertising, that we have a cultural problem. Children are no longer valued in areas like this. They are horrifically used and abused. This is a much larger problem than this one example that you were citing. Society needs to get a handle on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Justice Department said in this particular case, and while we're at it, I mean, the company involved is Southwest Key Programs. But evidently, this abuse took place while Southwest Key Programs were amassing billions of dollars of government contracts. Look, I mean, these abusers belong in prison, else. But what else do you think is going to happen here?
Well, it better be a defunding, because that's the power of Congress. If the administration will not do it, Congress must act, because this is, again, a horrific segment of our society that we must deal with, we must get more attention to, and we must stop this abuse. We have child sacrifice in America today, not only the voting for abortion up to and including the day of birth, but this child sacrifice in the way of sex trafficking. This has got to stop, Jody.
It absolutely does. And Congressman Keith Self, it is always an honor to have you on the program. We're deeply appreciative of your leadership there in Congress and beyond. Thank you so much for joining us yet again on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Jody.
All right. Have a great weekend. And listen, after the break, we're going to dive further into this whole thing with the 2024 GOP convention. There's a lot more. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. There's so much that has taken place and so much that is not being reported. We want to try to give you the proper perspective of it all. So stay tuned. Much more Washington Watch straight ahead.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heist. An honor to have you on the bus with us today. All right, now that the confetti, all the balloons and so forth from this week's Republican National Convention have all been swept away, there are many within the party that are now looking forward not only to the November elections, but perhaps more importantly to what the events of the past couple of weeks are going to mean for the direction of the GOP as a party. In his speech last night, former President Trump took time to mention really the hatchet that he and his team took to the 2016 as well as the 2020 Republican platforms, which included some significant breaks from party principles on issues like Israel, like marriage, the sanctity of life, which we've talked about. So what should we make of all of this? And will there be opportunities to right all of this in the future? Well, joining me now by phone to discuss this is Chad Conley. He's the founder and CEO of Faith Wins. Chad, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you.
Hey, Jody. How you doing, brother? Great to talk to you, man.
Likewise. Great to have you. I know you're on the road, so thank you for taking time to join us here. Listen, I know how disappointed you were by the Republican platform, and you know, especially when you can consider how so many people literally were silenced as the Trump team literally just steamrolled platform delegates here a couple of weeks ago. But how did all of that affect your take on the RNC overall?
Well, you know, first, it was an awesome convention. It was a very different tone. That was the fifth time I've been elected as a delegate, alternate, or state party chairman. But no doubt, this is Trump's party. I will say this. I think we're going to have plenty more bites of the apple. And the interesting thing, Jody, is I think this has always been about the consultants. I don't think this has been about President Trump as much as I would think he would not get down in the weeds this much, that they actually worked so hard to keep pro-lifers off. I think he gave some basic directives and consultants went overboard, because ever since I went to my first one in 04, they've been trying to water down the platform. I don't think it's anything new. But I'll tell you, they've not thought through this very well, these brilliant consultants, because the more granular the election, the more they need evangelicals. I sent an email to my whole list of pastors throughout the country and said, look, this just proves to me we need to redouble our efforts. If we've registered 2 million new Christians in the last two or three cycles, we need to register 10 million. Because let's face it, there's not a healthy fear of God among those consultants who would push this kind of thing at the state level. We're going to have plenty of shots at this. And, you know, I think the ironic thing about it, Jody, they thought they could avoid abortion. Do you know there were abortion, anti-Republican billboards in Milwaukee talking about abortion? And let's face it, most of the people on our side don't know how to talk about our principles unless they talk about the sanctity of life. You could tell some of the speakers probably struggled with it. They don't have their messaging right either. The left is not going to let us ignore the life issue and the abortion issue. We should stand strong on our principles and talk about them with conviction always.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is not an issue that can be swept under the rug or that we can pretend is going to go away. Now, whether it came from Team Trump or consultants, whatever the source in this particular convention and the platform debate in particular, the fact is that delegates were steamrolled and the agenda was forced through. What you really think that we're going to be able to turn this thing around? It sounds like you do.
Well, look, we lost the battle because they rigged the game. Some of these consultants say they're against election interference, but they participated in it. And so we watched that. You're right. We got steamrolled. I think you got to live to fight another day. You fight for what you stand for. They just don't think they need us in this election. I think it's a bad miscalculation. I've been saying for a year, we're not going to run against Biden. More and more evident that we're not going to run against Biden. And this game changes. And they're going to get a bump. You're going to see every celebrity in the book come out and talk about how great their nominee Kamala Harris is. We know this. We've watched this rerun so many times, Jody. So, yes, we're going to get another bite at this apple, and they're going to need us. Around September, they're going to be panicking. Let's face it, this assassination attempt, which is horrible, I don't know a whole lot of Christians in mine and your world who think we can survive another 4 years of not the Biden policies, but these are lefty, progressive, Democrat policies that we're all dealing with. I don't think anybody thinks we can survive another run of this, but they're going to need us again, and they're going to need us in the House and Senate races, the down-ticket races. So some of these people who pushed this for so many years, they're going to be the very ones coming back saying, why didn't you help us, or why don't you help us? They're going to forget the history of this, so absolutely we're going to get more bites of the apple. We got to be ready for it, and we got to keep working on our messaging to talk about it, but we also got to increase our numbers, Jody.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, he kind of alluded to this in a speech that he gave yesterday at the Faith and Freedom God and Country Breakfast, where he basically said that we still have a seat at the table. Play clip 7 real quickly.
There has been a lot of rumbling in the past few weeks that the Republican Party of now and the Republican Party of the future is not going to be a place that's welcoming to social conservatives. And really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say that is not true. Social conservatives have a seat at this table, and they always will, so long as I have any influence in this party. And President Trump, I know, agrees.
And listen, to me, it's not an issue of having a seat at the table, but having a voice. We've only got less than a minute, but give me your response to that.
I totally agree, and I think that's the nod toward it makes my point, is they know they can't do without us. Everybody on our side knows that the social conservatives, 52% of our primary vote nationally and 32% of the national vote in a general election. I think we just got to keep our heads down and keep doing what we know is right and stand for truth, Jody. I'm not going to back off on that, and I know y'all aren't. That's why I appreciate and respect and love you guys and what you're doing at Washington Watch.
Well, that goes both ways. Chad Conley from Faith Wins, always an honor to get your insight, a privilege to work shoulder to shoulder with you. Keep the torch ablaze, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you, brother. God bless, man.
You too. God bless. All right, friends, after the break, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks, and last night President Trump talked about it too. That's what we were just talking to Chad about, the 2024 GOP platform. Well, how does it differ, the new one, from the 2016 and 2020 platforms? Well, we'll be discussing it all right after the break, so stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. RC, you help light the way.
Party itself is ultimately going to take. So you can imagine our disappointment that this year's platform left so much to be desired. Well, joining me now to discuss what's missing in the realm of religious liberty in particular is Ariel Del Turco. She is FRC's director at the Center for Religious Liberty. Ariel, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always an honor to have you.
Good to be with you, Jody.
Okay, so you read through the platform, through all these platforms. You've been putting together a piece. In fact, I'm looking forward to, I've seen some of the work that you've done. That's why I want you on here. But comparing the platforms of the Republican Party. You know, we always put out a comparison of platforms between Republicans and Democrats, but you're putting together a comparison of Republican platforms, where we have been, as to where we are now, and in particular, your area of expertise, religious liberties. So let's start there, comparing this year's platform with the 2016 platform. Are there now more or fewer mentions of God? Let's begin there.
Yeah, so what we're dealing with the 2024 platform, it's much shorter, so overall the word count is much smaller. So when we're looking at the 2016 version of the Republican platform, there were 15 mentions of God. When we look at the 2024 platform, there were two mentions of God. And that's not necessarily concerning in itself, especially because of the word count cut. However, the way that God is referenced is of note. The 2024 platform, for example, mentions God talking about what Republicans will do with God's good grace. And that's important. We need God's grace to do everything that the Lord has given us to accomplish through our party. So we need that. That's great. However, we want a little bit more than that. We want to see God put in a place of honor and reverence as foundational to our party's values and our country's values. And ultimately, we want to see, ideally, God recognized as the creator in our platform and recognized as the source of our rights. That type of language was missing in the 2016 platform, but it's a good reminder for us as Republicans that these ideas need to keep us rooted, whether it's in the platform or not.
Well, the work that you've come out with, I've got it here on my computer. It's fascinating. And the comparison is so clear to see where we've been as to where we are. Let's talk about the First Liberty, First Amendment. How did this year's platform do in talking about enunciating the GOP stance on First Liberty?
Well, this is an area where the 2024 platform did pretty well as far as issues that social conservatives care about. The religious freedom language is pretty good. It talks about how religious freedom isn't something that's confined to houses of worship. It's something that is a part of our everyday lives. And it says that Republicans are committed to defending that right. So that's great. It also talks about, which is interesting, a federal task force to look into anti-Christian bias. That's something we've never seen before in our country's history, and it's something President Trump has already talked about on the campaign trail. So I think that's something that we can look forward to as conservatives and as people that do care about religious freedom and care about the discrimination that might be happening against Christians.
Was there anything missing on this part that kind of raised a caution flag for you?
Yeah, things that were missing that were in the 2016 version of the Republican platform included things like the First Amendment Defense Act, which is a bill that we support. Also mention of the Ten Commandments in schools and how that's important. That's an issue that's relevant right now, especially after Louisiana just passed a bill stating that the Ten Commandments would be put back in school classrooms. But overall, we even could have seen more criticism of the Biden administration and what they're doing on religious freedom. We're living under a Democratic administration right now that is prosecuting pro-lifers who are singing hymns outside of abortion facilities. We see an administration that is pretty silent as churches continue to be targeted and attacked with vandalism and arson. So there are a host of religious freedom problems right now that the Biden administration is either not addressing or they're the perpetrators in the violation of religious freedom. We didn't see many mentions of that, and frankly, we could have.
Ariel, would you be able to hold over for? I want to ask you about this issue of international religious freedom and how that issue stacks up in this platform compared to previous platforms. Will you be able to come back for just a couple of minutes in our next segment?
Absolutely.
Break?
Absolutely.
Okay. And before we jump to the break here, I want this information to be available to you. It may not all be there right now, friends, but this comparison is pretty eye-opening, and it's something that I think is going to be very important for you to be able to wrap your brain around. The platformintegrityproject.com should probably in the days to come have this kind of information available for you. Of course, tonyperkins.com as well. So keep a lookout on those two areas. More coming your way right after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Hi, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always an honor to have you. I'm Jody Heiss, your Friday host, and joining me now is FRC's director, the Center for Religious Liberty, Ariel Del Turco. Ariel, thank you for staying over a few moments for the break. As we're talking about the platform here and specifically your area of expertise with religious liberty, religious freedom, I'm curious about this year's platform as it relates to the field of international religious freedom compared to previous platforms. Can you bring us up to speed on that?
Well, sadly, the 2024 platform doesn't mention international religious freedom at all. There was a section on it in the 2016 platform, so this is disappointing to see. And frankly, it's a little surprising to see that it's not mentioned in the current platform, especially because the Trump administration was such a great advocate for religious freedom around the globe, especially under Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They just did phenomenal work elevating the issue of religious freedom in the State Department, bringing people like Andrew Brunson home from Turkey. He was an American pastor imprisoned in Turkey for 2 years, totally unjustly. So the Trump admin has some good wins under their belt on international religious freedom. It's sad to see that it wasn't included in the current platform.
Well, Ariel Del Turco, I want to thank you so much for all that you do in this. And you're right, I thought Franklin Graham, in fact, did a good job mentioning Andrew Brunson in that situation as well. But thank you for staying over with us for a few moments and for the incredible work that you do here at FRC. We thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you for having me.
All right, friends, as we go on, all the recent events have shown just how volatile our society has become. And when we experience volatile times like we are watching now, it is more important than ever that faithful Christians come together and pray, that we cry out to God for help and for His direction to help navigate us through these difficult times. And we're asking you to join with us in prayer for our nation, prayer that we would unite around truth, prayer that we would see a revival of biblical faith and a restoration of civility in our culture that has just in so many ways become so vile. So we're asking you to join us in prayer and to sign a prayer pledge. You can get that and get involved simply by texting the word PRAY to 67742. That's PRAY to 67742. Would you come along? Would you join us? Would you unite with us in prayer for our country? All right, here at Washington Watch, we, as you well know, we've been covering the 2024 RNC platform for the past couple of weeks. We've had a lot of live coverage from Milwaukee from the first day, in fact, of the platform committee, and all the way up until just this week. And this year's platform has left much to be desired on a number of issues, and we've talked about a bunch of them, from abortion to marriage to Israel and other things. And, of course, in the last segment, we talked about how the issue of religious liberty was also dealt with. And there are many other issues that we want you to be informed of. Well, last night, during his speech at the Republican National Convention, former President Trump referred to past platforms as long, boring, meaningless agendas. But words matter, and these issues matter. In fact, they're critical. Why? Well, here for our weekly worldview discussion about all of this is David Clawson, who is FRC's director here at the Center for Biblical Worldview, to discuss all of this. David, welcome back to the show. Great to have you.
Oh, great to be with you again, Jody.
All right. Well, listen, I want to jump in. There's so much to talk about, but I know that you literally just flew in from California. I think you landed about an hour ago. So you've been you made it to the studio just by the seat of your pants, I'm sure. But you were in California this past week for several pastors' conferences that FRC hosted. So before we dive into today's topic, could you just give us a brief what you were up to? kind of a chat, and just let us know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely, Jody. So the Center for Biblical Worldview was just thrilled to partner with our friends at California Family Council to host these one-day worldview workshops. And we did three of them, actually, this past week in Sacramento, San Jose, and Fresno. Some wonderful host churches hosted myself and our colleague Joseph Backholm. And we did just eight sessions with these church leaders and pastors from the area talking about how do we preach and teach and disciple on issues related to religious liberty and abortion, critical theory, how do we actually talk about homosexuality in 2024. It was a long trip, but it was so encouraging to be with so many faithful saints who are doing frontline ministry in the state of California.
Well, we are proud of the work that you and your team there are doing. And again, folks, these one-day seminars on biblical worldview, fantastic. You can reach out to us here at FRC and get in touch with David for more info. All right, let's turn now to today's topic, and there is a lot to talk about. But let's start by talking about former President Trump's speech on the final night of the convention. What good did he say in his speech? And there was a lot, but what would you list in the really good column?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of really good things, memorable moments, Jody, in that speech. Hearing the former president recount a failed assassination attempt. I don't think that's a first in probably American history where at a convention, just days removed from what could have taken his life, him recounting that. And the president said this will be the only time he does it because it's even too painful for him to talk about. And Jody, I think for me, one of the most moving moments was when President Trump said, "I'm not supposed to be here." And then the crowd started to cheer, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." And then he responded, and I believe it was at, you know, kind of off the cuff, only by the grace of Almighty God am I in this arena with you tonight. And so I think that was just moving when he honored the firefighter whose the apparel and the jacket and the helmet were brought out on stage. That was a absolutely moving moment. And then I guess I'll just say when he specifically towards the end of the speech, Jody, said that, you know, his administration will not allow men to compete against biological women in sports. I think that actually got one of the loudest applause lines during the second half of the speech. So much to commend in the speech, and it was fun to watch. It was a historic moment.
Well, I've got to admit, both of those two that you brought up were extremely emotional. I found myself not wanting to tear up on some of that, both with the assassination attempt and just the deep respect that he gave for that firefighter was incredible. But there were some other things in the speech that were missing, and I want to get into some of that. But maybe to kind of tee this up and to set it off, during the Faith and Freedom Coalition's God and Country Breakfast in Milwaukee, Trump's running mate now, Senator J.D. Vance, said that Trump deserves a little bit of grace, that he deserves a little bit of trust from social conservatives, from Christians, when considering how he delivered for them during his first term. I get that. But the reality is that words matter and platforms matter. And the fact that many of those words, many of those promises, many of those commitments are now missing, it matters. Would you agree? I mean, don't you think it is a little alarming that these things are now missing?
It is, Jody, and I'll just again be very transparent. I'm profoundly disappointed in the fact that the Trump campaign, and it was driven by the Trump campaign, according to all reporting, decided to really whittle down the GOP platform. And even in his speech, the former president really kind of let us know what he thought about the former iterations of the platform. But words matter. And one of the things that you, Jody, and Tony have talked about, you know, several times over the last 2 weeks is that over 80% of the time, politicians in both parties vote in line with the party platform. And over the last 40 years, the Republican platform has just articulated a very clear vision on issues such as the sanctity of human life and the definition of marriage and the importance of religious freedom. And I understand why, for political reasons, a campaign wants to walk some of that back. But words matter, and frankly, in the 8 years ago when President Trump won in 2016, a huge, overwhelming majority of people said one of the reasons they voted for the then newcomer was because of the strong language in the Republican platform. So I think it's up to us now to hold the campaign, and if President Trump wins, to hold the administration accountable to stand for the issues that he did steadfastly support during his first term.
Yeah, and the party as a whole, for that matter. And I said this earlier in the program, really, as we kicked off, I made the comment that we are not against Team Trump. That is not why we're bringing these issues to light. But we are appealing from the heart, appealing to them. We are raising authentic concerns, both for their benefit and for the benefit of the entire nation. These issues cannot, nor should they, be swept under the rug and treated as though they are not important. We've got to understand that there are things that are more important than politics, and these biblical principles are certainly among them. So, David, with that, let me just ask, let's break down, if you will, for our audience, why the issues that we've been discussing the last couple of weeks regarding the GOP platform, why are these type of things so vital for a flourishing nation, a healthy nation?
Yeah, well, Jody, the two issues that I'll mention, marriage and abortion, you know, if you don't have the right to life, that's the most foundational right. And Jody, I've said this so often, and it's worth repeating constantly. You know, the issue of life, the sanctity of human life, the fact that all of us are made in God's image, that is not an issue of left or right, progressive or conservative. This is a deeply biblical, theological issue. And I do hope that the GOP is on notice that if they walk away from protecting life, they are going to lose millions of conservative Christians who, again, there was the former Vice President Mike Pence would often say that he's a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. And for Christians, our allegiance is first and foremost to Christ. And again, the issue of life, that's foundational. And the issue of marriage, Jody, this is, you don't have a civilization if you don't have a strong marriage culture. And unfortunately, we've seen now 9 years of same-sex marriage being imposed on all 50 states. And we're now seeing, the slippery slope's a lot slippier than a lot of us even believed 9 years ago. And so these are issues, again, that Christians, biblical Christians, are going to continue to fight for no matter what the political parties do.
Yeah, and that slippery slope once started. I mean, now we're dealing with trans issues and surgeries of minors and keeping parents uninformed. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. If I can, let me hit on another issue. One of the other major focus points, if you will, of the convention was the border crisis, what's happening on our border. Accordingly, the former president made this remark in his speech last night. Play clip three, please.
At the heart of the Republican platform is our pledge to end this border nightmare and fully restore the sacred and sovereign borders of the United States of America. And we're going to do that on day one.
All right. So no question. This is an extremely important issue, both nationally and on the hearts and minds of voters all across the country. But what's at the heart of all this? What does this issue really boil down to, biblically speaking?
Yeah, that's an important question, Jody. And again, this is an issue that is front and center of pretty much every poll that you take of voters. This is not just a border state issue. Pretty much all 50 states have now become border states and border cities. And I think, you know, as Christians, we're the first people that affirm that all people are made in God's image. All people have value and dignity and worth. But what we've seen over the last 3.5 years under the Biden-Harris administration has been just unbelievable crime and unbelievable just people pouring over the border and the threats that's has to American citizens. One of the things that President Trump did really well last night was draw attention to people who have been affected by this issue. He mentioned Lincoln Riley, who was walking and got, of course, killed by an illegal immigrant. And so, again, Christians, we are people who love this country, who believe all people are made in God's image. But this is an issue that Christians also deeply care about, Jody.
Well, one other thing in our time, I wish we had more, but it's running out. God was mentioned many times throughout this convention. In fact, President Trump even cited words of Jesus last night. Real quick, clip four.
There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. This is the spirit that forged America in her darkest hours, and this is the love that will lead America back to the summit of human achievement and greatness. This is what we need.
It's what we need. I thought that was another powerful statement that he made. Let me just ask you this in wrapping up. We've got less than a minute here or so, but what do Christian conservatives need to do in response to all this that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks with the changes in the platforms? What do Christians do from here?
Yeah, Jody, one of the main things that we need to be doing is praying. Paul tells us in Timothy that we need to be praying for all of those who are in positions of authority. And I think in the next 4 months, Christians need to be earnestly praying. You know, Jody, I remember when the Dobbs decision, the leak happened, and Christians fervently prayed for those 6 weeks like I'd never seen before. Over these next 4 months, we need to have that same intensity praying that God's will and his hand would be on this country. We need to be praying for President Trump, President Biden, and for everyone running for elected office. So let's be people of prayer. And as pastors and ministry leaders, let's be speaking to these issues, the issues that God's word clearly talks about in Scripture.
David Clawson, always great to have you. And I'm reminded what you just said. We've heard it from Tony 1,000 times over. It's pray, it's vote, it's stand. We can't be upset and not vote. We have to pray, we have to vote, we have to stand for biblical truth. David Clawson, hope you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you for coming on after a busy week you've had. And friends, that wraps up this edition of Washington Watch. Hope you also have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.